Oh my gosh, have you heard Carrie's convo?
Oh yeah.
Carrie's conversation?
Hi, Trevor.
That is correct.
Ooh, sure. Okay.
It's been said that time is not in the milestones, but rather, it's made of simple moments together.
That may not be the best choice.
I was like, I don't know if I can talk to her about anything else, because it's like, we talk about that. That's been our relationship, you know, but I can tell you that the way that I found you, I know that was spiritual. I'm a very spiritual person. We haven't talked a lot about that.
No.
You know? And so I know that when I met you, and the reason I even reached out was spiritual, because I would run, you know, and I listen to my podcast. This is what I do to get myself centered, to learn more, whether it's a spiritual book or it's different podcasts. I've listened to so many different podcasts for voices. Mm-hmm. And then I just found yours, and it was like an immediate connection.
That is so cool.
And then the more that I found out about you, the more it just was confirmed every time.
You're like, it's meant to be.
I know. It's crazy.
The connection is meant to be.
Yeah. And then I saw that you just launched the other day. What number was it? 117. Episode 117. That's the only one I haven't listened to.
Oh, you have
on mental health.
Yes, yes. The next 117 and 118 next week, part two will be it's the same interview, but we had to split it into two because there's a lot of good information, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't know if you want to share anything from that, or do you have an incredible experience that you want to share, no matter if it's spiritual or anything?
I have a lot of incredible experiences.
That's what I want.
Sitting down with Alyssa, another coach with the Voiceover Gurus, and sitting down with Anna, who's a gestalt psychotherapist in New York City. She's also a yoga teacher in the whole nine yards. And she has a lot of clients that are actors and voice actors.
Really?
So she was really good at imparting ways for us to maybe ground ourselves, so that way the rejection and everything that we go through doesn't break us down.
Yeah.
Since such a huge part of our life.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really good. So you have to listen to it when you get a chance. But I've got a lot of experiences. I mean, are you talking about work related experiences or more spiritual experiences?
What's something that really stands out to you? Because I can't decide. It's what's like amazing and special to you, no matter what it is.
Probably one of the most amazing things that stands out for me, if we're going to go down the spiritual route, is when I had a near-death experience. And that was very life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never really thought much about it. And what happened was I have a genetic blood sugar issue. And I didn't really realize it at the time. I was 25 and I was working out, you know, it was hot, it was down in Florida. Next thing you know, I'm gone. And I wake up with my boyfriend at the time over me, slapping me to try to get me to come to. And he's crying. He's sobbing.
Oh my God.
I don't know why. I'm like, yeah, we wake up and you're like, why are you hitting me? What's going on? At the time, I didn't register it. It was very strange. It took a few years. And then all of a sudden, all this memory came back as to what happened during that little small little trip that apparently I took.
Yeah.
Seeing the feeling, the most overwhelming part was the feeling of overall comfort and just feeling just peace and fantastic. Probably the best feeling I could ever feel. Like if I'd taken a million drugs.
Yeah. I remember you mentioned this story to me one time and you said, I don't know. There was a man there. Didn't you say that?
Yeah. There was a man standing on my left and, you know, there's no speech. It's all like just in your thoughts, like the transfer goes. And I'd said to him, I go, it feels so good. I feel so good. And he goes, you have to go back. And I was like, I don't want to go back. This is amazing. He's like, nope, you have to go back. You have to go back. And it was like I was in a tunnel and I could see a light and I saw this man. And then next thing you know, I'm woken up.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe years later, it came to me what happened. But then I started to realize, wow, the feeling. Now, if you go through and people start to argue it, which a lot do, and they say in science that your brain releases certain chemicals or whatever to protect you when you're in that situation. Mm-hmm. But my mother also had a near-death experience years prior when I was a child. Same thing, passed out. She saw the same thing. So she saw a light, a tunnel, but she didn't see people. She heard voices saying, you have to go back, you have to go back. Mm. So, you know, if I had never experienced it, I would probably be like, well, you know, maybe it's a common thing. But now, after doing more investigation and interest and knowing other people that have had NDEs, it's pretty incredible. And for me, it just brings me extra peace knowing that, you know, this isn't it for us here. Mm-hmm. There are things beyond this.
It was a gift. I feel like those times may be really scary. And whatever you're going through, but it is a gift because it opens your eyes, your awareness. Yeah. You experience something that you've never experienced before. And it's so freeing and gives you joy. It's pretty wild.
I think that it also helped me to become more of an empathetic person, which has helped with the coaching and the patience that goes along with that, you know, and trying to help people get to where they want to go. Because people come from all different walks of life, all different experiences. And that's what's so fascinating, because suddenly they're all brought together by the common thing of wanting to become a voice actor.
Yeah. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about what a voiceover is real quick? A lot of people that find out, you know, or they hear, oh, I heard you're doing something like you do like cartoons in Asia or something like that. Like, well, it's kind of a lot of different things. And they're intrigued and they want to know a little bit more.
So a voiceover is any type of voice that you hear that is used underneath video, or not sometimes in a radio spot. It's audio only for commercials. Commercials are pretty much the most common, but voiceovers are used everywhere. You just don't realize it. So when you call the bank, you know, that's usually a voiceover unless they're going the AI route. When you listen to Spotify and you hear an ad, some actor created that ad with a production company. If you're in the grocery store and you hear the overhead ads, you hear, you know, the girl saying $5.99 for tomatoes today only. That's a voice actor. Yeah. And it's an incredible thing because it's all over the place. And there's so many genres that a lot of people don't know about, but voices are used for a million things. The most popular, people think cartoons, animation, and commercials. But what about turn on the radio? You hear promo artists are the ones that are announcing the ID of the radio station, the new 95.5, you know, coming up next, blah, 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 you know. So voiceovers are everywhere. And
one of the misconceptions, I think, is you have to have a beautiful voice, right?
Right.
There is a voice. I mean, there's a job there for any voice.
Now, yes. Old days, yes, it was perfect voice, smooth, dulcet tones, especially men with deep voices. But now it is about your uniqueness. It's about having that authenticity so that way you can connect with your audience. This era that we are in is all about being real. They don't want anything put on. They're, you know, millennials are doing a lot of the hiring, a lot of the casting now, and they don't want to be force fed anything. They don't want to be told what to do. Yeah. And the old style announcer would tell you what to do.
And they can recognize that old style announcer real quick.
Yeah. So I don't know if the pendulum is ever going to swing back. You know how things, trends come and go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really love the fact that we all get to really be ourselves now.
It's true. And say it like the way that you would say it.
Yeah.
Talking to someone, not, hey. You know, with
putting
those inflections, which was hard for me to switch over because, you know, when I got started, I had a great coach. She was a technical coach, and that's what I needed at the time. I've told you that. It was great for starting out, but there's so much that's involved with this job, and people don't realize that either. Like, right. Oh, you have a good voice. You just say it. Oh my gosh. No,
no.
And why would you even have an episode for voiceovers in mental health? People don't realize that.
Yes.
The rejection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have perseverance, keep going, believe in yourself. I mean, all That's those beautiful. Things, mm-hmm. when you've been told no so many times, mm-hmm. it just wears on you.
Or in our case, we don't hear anything. We just don't get the job. Yeah. So we're like, okay, I guess they didn't like me, which is always the big key. But yeah.
And then you doubt yourself and then you're like, what did I do wrong? And they don't tell you what you did wrong. And
right. And then it affects your future performances.
Yes.
Now you're insecure.
Yeah.
Being a voice actor is the most vulnerable thing. Being an actor is one of the most vulnerable things we can do because you are revealing yourself. And that's hard. That's really hard. You know, doing characters is easier because you can hide behind a character.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to be Carrie in this spot, you have to say, I love myself enough to know that I can do this well. So you have to have that inner confidence. You have to have that inner love for yourself. And, you know, there's ego that comes into this, too.
Yeah.
You have to have some ego. You have to believe, you know what, I sound better than that girl, you know, and that competitive edge, or you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So, it is
so you have been the voice for Disney, HSN, Motorola. Like, I could sit here and just list McDonald's, Costco, one after the other. You know, what else? Was there Verizon, Orbit, TLC? Like, it would take me the whole podcast just to list off all of your clients.
I've been working for a long time.
You are a Texas girl from San Antonio. That was another reason why we bonded the way we did.
Yeah.
And you took off at 18 years old and you knew you had a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I had the path wavered, you know, nothing's ever get to A to Z. Quickly or easily. But yeah, no, I feel very lucky that at 18, I saw someone doing a voiceover and it sparked my interest to the point where it lit the fire in me to say, this is something I want to do. Now, I went off and I had to work and I had to do other things. And I went to college and I went to college for business because my parents were like, you're not going to make it in voiceover. That's not a real job. And a lot of people don't feel it's a real job.
Yeah.
So I then worked a lot of other jobs, but then I got to the point where I was like, I need to get a job where I can be behind a microphone. And at that point, I didn't need to make much money because I was still young. So I walked door to door to radio stations in Fort Myers, Florida, knocked on the door and said, hey, are you guys taking any interns? And I was like this little 24-year-old girl. And I found one station that was, and it was this classic rock station, 96K Rock. These days, interns can't work with you unless it's like through a college. I mean, back then it was like the Wild West, you know, they didn't have regulations or they didn't follow any of that. So, you know, like, yeah. We have an intern program where you have to call people at night and ask them what their favorite rock songs are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pay you in concert tickets and CDs.
No way.
Yep. So that was my payment.
CDs.
Yeah.
I can't even play a CD right now. And anything that I have.
Same. I mean, we have stuff at the studio, old stuff at the studio. But other than that, no, it's.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was how it started, because I was like, I want to get behind the microphone and I don't know how to do it. So let me go to a radio station, because in my mind, that's how you became a voice actor. Not knowing that really isn't. But I met some amazing people. I got experience. I became a DJ. You know, that supplemented my income for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Disc jockey. So, you know, it helped with the path. But I never let up, because I did get a job offer in Dallas to do middays at a radio station there. And it was sweet money. And I know down in Texas, man, you guys can buy a lot more than we can and save dollars. And I said no, because I wanted to do voiceover and I was convinced, no, I'm going to do this. So,
and you did, and you stuck with it and you believed and you had to have faith. That's the other thing about you that I've learned over our coaching sessions. Is you have faith. You mentioned about journaling. You meditate because you talk about thinking, right? Mm-hmm. About the past and have written down and gone over your journals. And it's just really cool.
For me, the pictures, the visualization of cutting out all those pictures from magazines of where I wanted to be was a huge part of, and I think I just posted about this, but I saw, did you see the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, Netflix?
I haven't seen it yet. I have watched the preview 10 times going, do I want to? I'm asking you.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
He's a very unusual, unique person with everything that he's done. But something that caught me was that he said that everything he has done is because he visualized it. He saw it. He saw it before it happened and just decided, I'm going to be that. I'm going to be a movie star. He visualized it, went for it, didn't stop. And that's really at the heart of everything.
It is.
Because if you can't see yourself doing it, you're never going to do it.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Because then you start taking the steps, even subconsciously.
Exactly.
Telling
yourself. You attract the paths. You attract the opportunities.
I do. I believe that.
Are you a law of attraction person?
I mean,
are you more spiritual?
I don't know what that means when you say that, because I know what that is, of course. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole, you know, new age movement, and then the Christianity and the church is changing so much. I think because a lot of Christians are becoming more awake and realizing, you know, their experiences. And so I don't put myself in a box of this is my religion and this is, you know, I can tell you where we go to church and I can tell you how I grew up, but I base on my personal experiences that I have. You know, every day I get up and I kneel and I meditate and I pray, and every night I do that. And I've had, the more that I just not worry, but the more that I focus on my own relationship with being connected, I don't worry about anybody else, because I know that everybody's relationship with their creator is completely unique to them.
Exactly.
There's no way that God's going to speak to you the way he speaks to me, because we have our own language and things that I notice, you know? And so law of attraction, I believe that the way that you are, that you do attract that. That's just spirit. That's spiritual. Yeah. I believe that your spirit is huge. It's outside of your body. That's why when you walk into a place and you talk to somebody, you can feel their energy without them saying anything.
Yes.
You know, and
sometimes
so
that's not good.
I focus on that.
If they're really in a bad mood, and then you're like, oh, I don't want to be around this person because they're in a really bad mood.
Yeah,
I hear you. I'm not a religious person, but I am very spiritual. And I just believe that there's something more, you know, there's something more.
Yeah.
And when it comes to law of attraction, it's not something that I follow closely anymore. I just did it in my mid-20s to get myself to New York. Put into practice some of the things that people do for law of attraction. But I do feel that what you put out is what you're going to get back in, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So if you are kind and giving, you will attract kind and giving people in your life.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
And it's just, it's pretty straightforward that if you walk around complaining about your life, it's not going to get better. You're going to attract possibly more negativity.
Yeah.
That's just my belief. It's not, you know, nothing is law.
Right.
No, it isn't. It's what you believe is what I believe. And
well, and it's a choice too, because we have to choose. And that's the hardest thing. When you're down, like we're talking voiceover right now.
Yeah.
And we're sitting alone here and you have a thought and it's, oh my gosh, you know, they didn't pick me. And then you start internalizing it, and then one thought after another, and it can just go down a really bad road. So, I try to keep, you know, if that happens, I recognize it. And then I have these certain things that I just say to myself to get me out of it.
Like affirmations?
Exactly. Just an affirmation or scripture or a funny hat. You know, I have all these crazy hats. Mm-hmm. Or I turn on something funny, you know, making yourself laugh, and laughing is the best medicine.
We kind of touch on that in the podcast with Anna, that she mentions that she noticed me, because I said to her, oh, there's days when I get up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go audition. And she said, when you said that, just like I did now, your body kind of fell. Mm-hmm. And your face went like, you know, she says, but if you're starting to feel that, she's like, you know, write yourself, get your airwaves open, breathing airwaves open, and help to change your attitude, because our bodies are so involved with our mental state at that time, if that makes sense. And saying it's like you have to do the reminder, like what you're doing. You're basically giving yourself affirmations to snap yourself out of maybe what road your mind might be going down.
Right. Right. So is there anything that you do that's different from those things that help you mentally like that?
There are days when, I mean, I suffer from anxiety issues, and I have depression issues too. Mm-hmm. So that is a constant thing that unfortunately started in my early 30s, and it's just something I deal with. So there are some days I'll get up and be like, I'm not feeling it today. I don't, you know, if I could, I would just stay in bed, and but then I would feel worse.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't being productive. So I say, I'm getting up, I'm going to jump in the shower. On the days I feel really bad, I'll dress really nice because it will help to shift.
That's so smart.
Yeah. I'll put on something cute, or I'll put makeup on, or I'll do my hair or something. And then I'll come in and I just feel better. I feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a little thing that I do. Just visually, my appearance helps, because working out does help for me. And I think working out's a good source for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Help you work through stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my gosh, are you obsessed? It's like, no, I'm doing it for my mental, emotional health.
Yeah. So yeah, it can be, because you're releasing all those wonderful, you know, chemicals into your body.
Endorphins, yeah.
Yes. Like today, I'm going to swim after work. And when I swim, when I'm done, it's that that release and any stress that I felt. And then I sleep really well too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So that's another thing that I do. But it's a daily choice. You're making a choice every day how you're going to deal with it. But there's some days when I'm like, I'm not feeling, especially now going through freaking perimenopause and this age, middle age, my moods are all over the place.
Oh, I know. This is a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is. Like, do you take supplements and stuff?
I take some, not for particularly for that, but I take it for other things.
Yeah. It's a whole new regimen than it was before.
I'm starting to learn that it's very different than the life I was living prior, because it's not good. It's not fun. Yeah.
I feel like it's also, you know, that this is like really important, that time to exercise is when you're going, your body's going through those changes and stuff, just to keep you up. Keep
I was talking going. About it with the girlfriends. We went out to dinner on Friday night, last Friday, and I was saying there are some afternoons I'm like, I am just pissed off. I am just in the worst mood, and nothing has done anything to piss me off. And I'll just say to Matt, he'll be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm not. It has nothing to do with you. And he's like, okay, I'll leave you alone. I'm like, just leave me alone. I'm just going to go about my day, and I'm going to try not to talk to anybody. But for some reason, I'm feeling all this. And I guess it's part of the
and
process.
And that's hard when you have to be on. And then, you know, you have to, because we were talking about your body, and the lady the other day, the therapist told you how your body just kind of, you know, fell. And these directors, producers, whoever's listening to our auditions, they're so in tune with it. They can hear if they can hear if you're a little nervous, or if you're trying to push a little too hard, or almost, you know,
but you may, and you may not even realize you're doing that. It's like somebody has to point it out to you.
I know. So you have to fight through those feelings too.
Yeah. I've had casting directors say, you sound like you're holding back. And I'm like, I do. Oh my gosh. How did they know? How did they know that inside my mind is someplace else, or I'm super nervous and I'm feeling insecure? Again, this is why being a voice actor, as we are actors, we are so vulnerable, and we have to be, you have to continually practice to show everything for that set amount of time, you know?
Yeah. So putting it all out there.
Yeah. And being on for sessions, being on for auditions. It's just, it's part of our world.
Why do I love it so much?
Yeah. Why do you love it? What do you love about it?
Well, I remember when I first started, and honestly, and I told you this before, it was really everything I went through with my son, and then everything I've gone through, and people asking me to record meditations, and I got into the the mics and the recording and all. And then I really was led to it in my meditations, and I didn't even know what a voiceover was. And so I just started taking those steps and learning. And
when did this happen for you? You'd had your kids at this point, or did it happen before you were finished? Because you have five kids.
Well, I started out in radio in my very first job, but, you know, raising my kids, and then I've always been a fitness. I've always had a job. I've worked at every big box gym there is.
Really?
I'm a cycle instructor, a yoga instructor. I'm certified in everything there is. I personal trained women for 20 years, and I just let go of that. My heart wasn't in it anymore. And I also felt like, why are we focusing so much on the outside and the physical? Because if you really focus on the inside and get some of this stuff right, all that outside stuff's going to fall into place. You know?
That's great. Yeah.
And then, you know, I told you what happened with my son, you know, 2 years ago. And, you know, that was like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in here and auditioning. And there was a couple of times I just started crying out of joy. I'm not kidding. Wow. Like, I was like, thank you. Thank you for this. Mm-hmm. It's just part of who I am in a way to express myself. I can't even explain it. It just, God's just put such a passion and a desire to want to do it. And it's obviously not about the money, because it's so hard to get started.
Right.
It really is. And so it just gave me a lot of joy that way. I've met so many great people.
You recognized the love, and it gave you an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel good, express yourself. It is hard, which is one, that's the other misconception. If you're thinking about getting into voiceovers for money, please don't, because it could be years and years till you make any money, because there is so much competition, and there's a lot of jobs out there too. So we could flip the script and say lots of opportunities. How hard do you want to work for it?
That's right.
That's pretty much it.
That's really what it is. It is. And whenever I would get down, I would pray and just say, you know, lead me to the next step. Lead me to the next book. And it would talk to me. I would hear that book, or a person would say something. They'd come along right at the right time and tell me exactly what I needed to hear right then.
Yeah.
You know, to keep me going. And my bottom line, and then, you know, with this podcast, was just to help people, honestly, with mental health, with our struggles that we went through as a family. If anybody can gain anything from just connecting with other people and hearing other people's struggles.
Right.
Because when you hear other people's struggles, you're like, okay, I'm not alone. You can't say you're alone anymore.
No.
You know,
I went through a period, I was on my own for about 10 years. But I left my first husband due to infidelity issues that he was dealing with and I was having to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's what brought me back to Long Island. And I was lucky enough to have someone that I had known since I first moved to New York, Dave Goldberg, who owns the studio. And I said, can I come and hang my microphone? This was in 2005. And I said, can I come hang my microphone at your studio? And he was like, yeah, sure. And it was a closet, because we weren't in the same space. I'm like, okay. So it's just he and I and me in this little closet. And all I could afford was a studio apartment up in this little town called Seacliff. Mm-hmm. And I had nothing. I had a futon, and I had my Jeep, and I had my cat and this little tiny thing. And I had no money. And I had all this debt that I had brought with me from the marriage. And I had just started like independently. And I was working at a radio station in the city. So that was like at least my health benefits, but it was a part-time job. So I was just making enough to like cover my little $800 a month payment. I couldn't cover my car payment. I had to ask my ex for money for that. So at this point, I know. And I only had like a couple of clients, because they were from the existing town that I had moved from, that I still have to this day. But those were some dark days, because I had some friends, but not all the friends that I have now. And my family was in Florida. So night after night, I would go home, and boy, I dove into my spirituality. I dove into connecting with a higher purpose, because I was at my wit's end and I didn't know. But
where else were you going to go?
Yeah. And I just remember those days being pretty bleak. But then knowing that if I just put one foot in front of the other and just get out of bed, try something, do something each day, mm-hmm. do something, believe that, you know, you can achieve something, believe that you are good at what you do, believe that you're going to get better at it. And then next thing you know, it took a couple of years, and then the auditions would come that were a little better. And then I auditioned for Disney. That was a 6-week long audition. And then
I loved hearing that story, by the way. I'm going to interrupt you real quick and just say she has a podcast called The Voiceover Gurus Podcast. Your website for that podcast is www.voiceover.guru.
Yes. That's okay. The coaching. Yeah. You can also access the podcast from there too.
Okay. And so she tells the story. You've got to go find it and listen to this. Okay. Go ahead. Got to find her podcast and listen to it. She has great stories.
So just dark days, you know, it's never an easy path, you know, to get to where you want to go. And you have to just focus on that end result. But I mean, and I was alone and I was in my mid-30s. And at this point it was like, okay, I haven't had any kids. I wanted to have kids. That was a whole other thing I had to go through, because any man I dated was like, I don't want to have kids. I already have kids. You know, it's a really bad time, you know? Yeah. So I hit 40 and I was like, I'm giving up. You know, I don't care if I meet anybody. I'm good. I had cultivated really great friendships. I'd start to really build my career, started to have a lot of fantastic success. Got very lucky for about a good 10-year span there. And then at 40, I just said, screw it. I'm not going to worry about anything. Boom. That's when I met my now husband.
Isn't that something? Why is it always like that? And you know it, like, deep down.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to think about it. I'm supposed to let it go.
I fully released and just said, I don't care. It wasn't that I don't care. I'm fine being okay by being by myself.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm okay.
And you know who you are and you know what you want. You've been through it. How did you meet him?
So his brother used to work in the studio with us, because his brother used to be a video editor. And so I had known Mike for years. And one of our friends was having a birthday and we were meeting at a bar. And I said, Mike, why don't you come for the birthday? And he goes, okay. He goes, can I bring my brother? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he shows up with this guy and he goes, oh, this is my twin brother, Matt. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And I said, you guys don't look anything alike.
Really?
They're fraternal twins. They're not identical. So I get to take out your wallets, show me your IDs. So they show the IDs and I see.
See the proof.
Oh my goodness. Harris. Okay. So we met that night and then we just kind of maintained a friendship, over that. But yeah, he and I have been in each other's lives since 2010.
Wow. And you just got married.
Yeah. Just got married a couple months ago. So you just never know.
This life is such a trip, isn't it? And that's the other thing that I try to keep my mindset. If anyone's listening and they're a voiceover at my level, which is down here. Not up here. Not yet. Not yet.
That's not true. Yet.
It's happening one day.
Now, don't refer to yourself like that. You say, well, I am up and coming.
Oh, I am.
Clients coming to me all the time for my talents.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, but don't put yourself anywhere low. No way. Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, with all the experience anyway, I forgot what I was going to say.
You never know. You never know with anything. You can't plan.
Oh, when I get down, you know, and have those thoughts, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? When I look back, I felt like I was reminded of those really cool things that have happened that mm-hmm. I didn't know were ahead of me.
Exactly.
Why do we always assume that there's nothing in front?
Right.
Being that nothing, I don't feel it, I don't see it, nothing's going to happen. You know, and if I had that mindset before, then I wouldn't have experienced these other really cool things because I wouldn't have taken a risk.
Right.
Wouldn't have. And the other thing that you've taught me and so many other great voiceovers, just seeing their posts, is just play and have fun.
Exactly.
And everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really one of the reasons why how I got so much joy out of this was playing.
Yeah.
And my life is fucking serious, girl. It is. I got 5 kids with some major shit going on. And I am not going to live the rest of my life pissed off, mad, upset. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
But when I feel it, I'm like, look at all my blessings that were just given to me. God saved my son from being hit by a car on a highway.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in a car, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I say that a lot because that's really the basis of how I even started this podcast was from his story. Mm-hmm. But we have witnessed so many wonderful miracles. We're so blessed and favored to be born in America. I know that sounds hokey.
No, it's true. Shit,
I pull up these when I feel like my kids are a little more rotten than they should be. Mama pulls up those documentaries. That kid in India, he's bathing right over there and shit. Yeah. You get on your knees and say thank you for letting me be born in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we got opportunity.
Yep. What other country can you come to with nothing and become a billionaire if you want?
Right.
It's just, right. This is truly still the land of opportunity, no matter what anybody wants to say.
Yeah.
You know?
And the other thing about VOs that I do want to make a point is everyone is so encouraging. And supportive. Like, sure, you have your jerk faces. There's always one or two. I'll see a comment. Someone had posted on a VO's social that was just nutballs, right?
But nasty.
99 out of 100 times, everyone's so encouraging.
Yeah. I think there's a reason for that, too. It's because we're all kind of like in this battle together.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. Some people want to brag and go, oh, I don't have to look for auditions. Everything's handed to me. It's like, you're lying. You're completely lying. Yes. You know?
You are lying.
Or the people they get on and like, oh, I'm going to make seven figures this year. Well, where can I hear you? Where is this seven-figure documentation? Plus, they could say anything. Yes. And then it's just rude and it's just unnecessary.
But they just shot themselves in the foot, though, because everybody that knows the reality of the VO world knows that that's such a silly comment. And so do directors and producers. So anyone that's going to see that isn't going, I don't think, to be fooled by it. There's this one girl that posted on Twitter. It was like a year or two ago, and I was just laughing. And she was like, I'm new to voiceover. I just came out. They ain't no stopping me. Straight to the top, baby. I'm like, go get them. Go get them, girl.
Have you heard from her since? Has she posted since?
I've never seen anything from her
again.
So it's just,
you but know, I think that's why people are supportive of each other, because we all know how hard this is.
Yeah. So you got to have an ego, but you can't have too much of an ego, right? You got to be humble. Got to have
ego. I don't think this business allows you to have a huge ego. Yeah. I mean, unless you're like, even Brian Lee, my friend, does not have a huge ego. And he could.
Yeah.
He could, but he doesn't, because he is a down-to-earth person. But the rest of us, the majority of voiceover actors, are not in that 1%. You know, we're out there sludging and auditioning and making money. We all know how hard it is. We all know the challenges. That's why there's great groups that talk about red flags. You know what red flags? There are a company that's coming up as a red flag. They get posted so everybody can see. You know, it's a great way to share information so somebody else won't get burned.
Which makes me think about that one time, and I want people to know about this because it's happening to my daughter. She's an artist and just got an email through Instagram saying, oh, I would love to hire you as a portrait, but we only pay with check. And I was like, oh, I've heard this one before, you know. And this deal that came through was a huge company, and it was an email to me, and it was from HR, and they had everything there. And then I had that same day a coach session with you, asked you about it. And then you're like, let me see about that. You're like, oh, it's a scam. And I couldn't believe it. The amount of effort that they went through, they wanted a Zoom call. I mean, all the same things.
Yeah.
Down to the nitty gritty details. They could have stolen everything I had.
Yeah, I know. It can get pretty intricate these days, too. So you got to watch it.
Is there anything that VOs need to look out for with that maybe not everybody's aware of?
I mean, we're just subject to the same things that everyone else is, really, except they're trying. The biggest one that I have encountered and have had friends encounter is where same thing, where they want to hire you for a job and they say, what's your fee? And you're like, $300. And they say, oh, well, the client's willing to pay $900. So we're going to send you a check for $900, but could you turn around and send us a check for $600? And, you know, da 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 da. And so I figured it was a scam, this thing. I didn't even do the job. They wanted to do all the payment first, which was really weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, send me the check. So they did. They sent the check. I went to my bank and I said, I want to see if you can clear this, you know, and they said it would take like 7 days, which it did. And they came back and go, no, it's a bad check. So I wrote to him, sorry, your check didn't clear. And I never heard from him. But right. A friend of mine had the same thing happen to her. And she did send a check off. And I think she was out like $2,000.
Wow. It's people, just what they will go through nowadays.
I know. But just like anything else, do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Type in the company, see if it's for sure legit. Now some of them are creating fake websites, you know, so they're making it look, but never give out money. You don't need to,
yeah.
You know, especially if you're auditioning, there's some of these companies that there's not that many left where they would ask you to pay a monthly fee to be like, oh, we're going to send you auditions, but you need to pay a monthly fee. I'm not talking about a pay to play.
Oh, okay.
And you need to pay our sister company just to be listed on the site, you know, $15 a month, and we're going to start sending you auditions. So I did that with that Idiom Talent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a year, I never got one audition. And then turns out
you even won.
And it was a scam.
Yeah.
It was a scam. And they had done that to many voice talent, just collecting that little bitty, because it's $15 a month. You're like, oh, it's $15 a month.
Yeah. So, and a lot of them are like that. You know, there's a lot of websites out there that probably shouldn't go sign up for. And there are those that are better. Do your research. Read reviews.
Yeah.
Read the reviews. If you just do a little bit of research, you will find out real quick which places.
Yeah. And ask people that you know that are in the business, too, if they've heard of it.
Yeah.
That's the best way. And get into the Facebook groups. There's a lot of voiceover Facebook groups.
Yeah.
You belong to any of those?
A few of them, but I don't get on that much as I should. I went and looked at yours too, and I want to do, which also leads me, I want you to say this first, is the online workouts that you have, the Facebook group that you have. I would love for you.
So our Facebook group is private though. So if you do study with us, because I don't want just anybody going in there and promoting and I'm very protective of my students.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like once you've studied with us, you're like, you're our family. So it's open to students only. But it's a great place. We can share ideas. If you booked something, fantastic, you know. And everybody's gotten to know each other pretty well, too, because several of the same people will, for a period of time, come to our online workouts. So our online workouts are good because it's only 6 people tops. We keep it pretty intimate and it's always 2 coaches. So it's usually me and another coach. And lately it's been Alyssa, who's the acting element of Voiceover Gurus. And we run these 2-hour workouts like twice a month. And
I got to do one. I haven't done one of those yet. They sound like so much fun. I got to make note of that.
Yeah, we're going to pick up again in September. We're taking the summer off.
Oh, good.
But we actually have a new coach joining us soon.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Who is this?
I know. I can't announce yet.
You can't tell?
Not while you're recording.
Okay. You tell me later.
I got to make sure everything is nice and sewed up. But yeah, we've got a new coach coming that's going to start joining us in October, which will be cool.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, because he's going to be doing narration and e-learning and documentary, because he actually does documentaries.
Ooh. So
coaching for that.
He's also
a demo producer. So he's going to be doing those demos. Dave's going to be the main demo guy, but he's going to be doing some specialty stuff. Really nice too. So
cool.
Yeah. It'll be good because people always like to hear that.
Yeah.
Budding actors like to hear that. And if there's anyone listening here to your podcast is thinking about trying it out, we do a 20-minute assessment for you for $50, and we'll assess you for 20 minutes and have you read scripts and point you in the right direction. If maybe you've always had that inkling and you're like, "Ooh,
yeah,
I would try voiceovers."
And
it is a lot of fun.
It is. And that's why, you know, and that's one of the things I had you on. I've had several coaches. I've had a business coach. I had a coach / producer on one of my demos. And then my very first one, I've not asked any of them to come on. I'm asking you to come on because you are so good at what you do, and you're patient. Mm. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are really rigid with their time, which is fine. You need to be, and you need to have rules, but not so rigid that we're in the middle of a conversation. Just, okay, I gotta go. You know, you're that way. And you're the one that helped me really find my brand, really find my voice that is right for me. So I say all this because if you're just wanting to find out if you're good at this or could be good at this, why not spend $50 and give her, you know, you a call? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, have found out through the podcast that this is what I'm doing and they're real interested.
Yeah. And I'm honest with you. I'm not one that's going to be like, oh yeah, your voice is great. We should work together. You need to buy a package. You know, I would rather say to you, hey, you need to go take some acting classes, or maybe you're having some diction issues that we would, you know, or, and I lay out the struggles that you could potentially face if there are any, you know, so it's not, because I did not become a coach to make money as far as like become rich. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Cause you will, you have turned people away that just isn't going to work out. And your specialty is like a conversational approach. So there's different deliveries. You'll have to, if you're interested in the voiceovers, you'll have to learn what those genres are, and they're all different deliveries. So what a great place to go to find out if this is even works for you.
Right.
And then get the real story on how all of it works with the conversation.
I had an assessment a couple of days ago, and the gentleman was actually very good. And I said, you know, you've got a great foundation for this. You have a beautiful voice and you were able to let go. I ran him through some, you know, different moods and attitudes on the scripts. And then he emailed me this morning and he said, I'm so afraid. And he said, I feel like I already feel like I have imposter syndrome. And I don't even feel comfortable starting. And he goes, I'm not asking you to convince me, but I just wanted to know what you thought. And I wrote back honestly. And I go, look, you need to just take a step back. If you are feeling that much apprehension about it, it's not sitting right with you. Step back, go back to doing what you're doing. If the bug comes back and bites you, call me. And he said, and if it doesn't, then, you know, it was just like a passing whimsy. But I'm not going to convince you to do something when deep down, that wouldn't be what I would follow. I follow my heart. I follow my gut. I follow what feels right. I do pretty much everything on an emotional basis. It isn't the best business approach, but and it keeps me a little not as organized and planning as I would like, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I got an idea for this. And then I throw it all together, you know,
but there's a reason why he called you, because he had the passion, the desire, the drive, the want, and then he sounded great. So to me, you're telling me the story and I'm like, well, what's wrong? Well, we all have it, imposter syndrome and whatever it is, especially when you're first starting out.
I know. I was like, if you're already feeling this now, reassess.
Yeah.
Don't force yourself too. If something feels uncomfortable,
that's
not for you. At least right now. Maybe he'll get the, you know, the confidence and the courage to do it. But my point is I'm not going to convince you to do something that.
Right. No, do it. Do it. Yeah. Spend more money. Give me more coaching.
Right.
And there are those people that will do that to you. That's why it's very important. Don't go in naive. If you're hearing this and you're really interested in it, just make sure you hire the right people and you don't waste money. I've wasted money.
Watch those companies that come in and they say introduction to voiceover class, and it's usually at a college or a school for like a half day on a Saturday, and they'll say, come in, it's $99, $49, and we'll assess you, and you go and you hear their speech, you do the whole thing. And I'm sorry, but everybody is told, you got a lot of potential. You know, because then they wind up coming to me and saying something felt off. I was like, yeah, because it's not good. So try to avoid that.
Or people that want to produce your demos don't have any business producing a demo. So any of these sites that you get on, they're called pay to plays. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to tell you which ones to get on. You're going to have to figure that one out. But go Google and do your research, like I said, and you'll find it.
Good. This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
I know. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to have you back again. And you're going to be my coach forever.
Get ready to talk about your voiceover career and path, because that'll be, I was thinking about you this morning because I was like, I need a student who's working and is going to be good, you know, behind a mic in a conversation.
Yeah.
I wonder if Carrie would want to do it.
Heck yeah. I'm all over that, girl. All right. Thank you so much again. And I will definitely see you soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks, girl.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Chatterbox Radio.
If you want to hear more about the guests on this show, please visit www.thechatterboxradio.com.
Whatever. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Okay.
Is that my jacket? Is that... Take it off. That's my shirt. Is that my sweatshirt? Take it off. Is that my t-shirt? Take it off. She's such a little...
It's okay.
What fur?
Thank you.
Baby, thanks for listening.